So I'm here with the director of 311. Tim, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
Why don't we start at the beginning? Philly's 311 was established in 2008. What was its mission then, and how has it evolved?
I had to actually do some research because, you know, I've been in here a year. So I was on looking at the internet and reading actually the bill that introduced it. And the father of Philly 311 is Jim Kenney, which is great, our existing mayor. So you can tell he's got a little skin in the game. He wants it to be successful. And he wrote that there was four reasons to do it. The one was that there'd been so much success in other cities. So there was quite a few, hey, Baltimore's done awesome, New York's done great with this. So there had been a proven track record. The second thing was that it seemed really confusing. You know, you think about it and all the different agencies, and you basically had to call 215-686-1776 or find your council person to get a question to almost anything, potholes or whatever. The third thing was that maybe there'd be some data to look for trends and things to see if you could make things better in the city. And the last was this accountability point, that if you had a 311 service, there could be data that would talk about how the city's doing and make government services more accountable.
Now, you use the term accountable, and I understand you've pioneered the use of the term customer service.
Well, in the city, we'd like to say that we focus insanely on customer service. You know, Zappos sort of made it famous, right, that they don't sell shoes, they sell customer service. And we really want to be that way in the city. You know, in fact, we actually have a recent campaign. If your mom was on the phone, are you proud of this call? Because, you know, there's an easy way to answer a call, and then there's a way to actually ask a few additional questions and really get at the spirit of what's trying to go on. So we want to have mom-like service.
Now, you know, all week we've invited NewsWorks Tonight listeners to call in anticipation of our conversation. Here's one that specifically speaks to that call.
Hi, this is Bernie in Kensington, and I'd like to ask Philly's 311 director why 311 callers are forced to listen to a full minute or more of announcements and menu options instead of giving callers an option to hit a single key to bypass all of that crap so they can reach a live 311 operator without needless delays. I don't have time to listen to all that needless crap, and neither do most other 311 callers. I hope the director addresses that question on tomorrow's show. Thank you.
Tim, is the caller accurate to the extent that you're first getting a recording and can take a while to navigate that phone mail, and we all can relate to that frustration when we place a call?
Yeah, I think the caller is absolutely right. And we have started to look at that technology to see how efficient or effective those prompts are. And we have discovered that roughly 5% of the people that call are helped by those. And we're actually looking to shorten that. And I think that it's a totally legitimate concern, and we want to shorten that.
And then toward that end, here's another call we took that pertained to accessing 311 through a mobile app. Let's hear once again from Bernie.
I have another question for Philly's 311 director. Why the 311 mobile app requires users to allow the city of Philadelphia to access all users' phone book contacts, pictures, and all other documents stored on their cell phone? And why the city of Philadelphia has failed to publish a privacy policy explaining what it can do with all that personal data it has access to.
Tim, the caller is bringing up legitimate privacy issues. Is our information vulnerable in that regard?
What those messages are the default message when we go after the picture. So the only thing, when you use the mobile app, the only thing we're really using is the picture. So I think the caller addresses a concern that we need to look at, because it's an unintended consequence to say that we're going after that privacy. In fact, the Philly 311 data is an open data set and is available to everyone. So we really make sure, want to scrub names out of that. So if you go to the data set, you'll see the data, actually, we've removed the names from it.
Tell us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the center. How many customer service agents do you have? How long is the shift? What are the quantity of calls you receive?
We take about 650,000 questions, connections, service requests in a year. If you look at that 650,000, about 30% of them are service requests.
So
pothole
car
is
removal.
A good one. The actually, Philly's most favorite one is abandoned cars. We will take several thousand abandoned car complaints in a year. And I think that's got a lot to do with, you know, I mean, there's nothing worse than an abandoned car, right? And also it takes up a parking space. Abandoned cars are our number one. And then missed trash, missed recycling, that ends up being number two.
You take in calls from residents, and we've spoken inordinately about that, but also businesses and visitors. Let's talk a little bit about those categories.
Well, we get a lot of calls from businesses about license and inspection issues, okay? That's just a tremendous amount of, I would just say that it's not online complexity, but there's a lot of questions about how to use a lot of the new features that L&I has put in place. They've really tried to make it so that you can go online and run your business. So we take a majority of those phone calls for them and try to get you through. And if you have a technical issue that we can't solve, then we move you on to license and inspections. We don't get as many questions from visitors. We get a lot of walk-in folks from visitors. We'd like to have more. If you look at our data, 80% of our calls are repeat callers. You know, 20% of our callers are new. So what we want is more new callers.
Instead of the same smaller cadre of people calling and
right.
calling and calling.
I mean,
not that their issues aren't legitimate.
No. I mean, we clearly, 5% of our callers create 20% of our volume. So when you think about that, they're believers, right? They might be slightly unhappy with us believers at times, but they're believers. What we want is that new user to call in and then become a repeat user.
How do you assess your own progress? What's your report card?
We implemented something. I came from Vanguard for a while, and Vanguard was a big believer in something called the Net Promoter Score, which was, you know, sort of an industry known satisfaction that was a guy named Fred Reichheld from Bain actually has written books and talked about it. And theoretically, one question, he calls it the ultimate question: can you recommend the service to a friend or family member? And we ask that question consistently now, and we have thousands and thousands of responses. They're not all good, but what's important to us is the fact that when you can't tell us that you can recommend the service, you tell us why. And what we've been doing is trying to get at what are those reasons, what are those issues. And I would tell you that the most common issue is sort of poor status. You know, there's a lot of people that say, you know, I put this in and I don't know what's going on, or you told me it's closed. And if you go into those, really what we've discovered is a lot of those are system problems and communication and process issues. And what I would ask the public is that when they get one of those answers, maybe just give us a call back, because our agents have access to the systems and the data to actually see that. So even though some of our responses seem wrong, that if you call us back, we can look a little deeper, and lots of times it's a better answer. And if it's not a better answer, we'll resubmit the ticket and follow up on it.
You mentioned now Mayor Kenney at the onset that he was an early champion of this. Let's also note that you were part of his transition team. To what extent do you have direct or very close access to him in terms of your vision for 311?
One of the things that I had a chance to do in the transition team was write a paper about how to make 311 better. So that was something that was important to the future mayor. You know, almost everything that was discussed in that transition paper is things that we're working on. It's, again, it's about, you know, citizens, it's so clear that people just want the problem solved. And when you think about all the other reasons things don't get done, people aren't interested in it. So our focus has been to solve the problem, which starts with a cultural issue, but then after that is a lot of technology and process. And we have weekly and monthly meetings with all our major service providers now. So we sit with the streets department, we sit with L&I, we sit with Parks and Rec, and we read the feedback and we work on how to get better. So it's a very collaborative process, and that's really what we wrote in the transition. So I think that will be the evolution of the service.
Do you have the opportunity when you're puzzled in terms of how to proceed to call up your analog in Baltimore or New York or another similar size city and see how they're going about it?
Yeah, there's actually...
And is that useful?
Yeah, it's absolutely useful. And there's actually a users group that we can go to that I haven't been yet, but I know some of my teams. But we've been to New York. been to Baltimore, and we have really learned a lot. I mean, and especially New York is one of those things where their budget's bigger than ours, and they've made a lot of technology investments, and they tell us what works and doesn't work, which is really cool, so we don't have to make those mistakes.
Philly 311 was created in 2008 in large measure to take the pressure off of 911 and merely calling the boilerplate Philadelphia number. Can you foresee a time when 311 will need to be subdivided?
As it gets more complex, there's no question that what we do is we subdivide it within our own. So we don't want the customer to have to know different numbers. But when you think about the complexity around license and inspections, we get a lot of phone calls about how to use their online system to apply for a permit, to apply for a license. And that team has to be pretty specialized. So behind the scenes, we sort of specialize and point the calls there. So over time, I think that's what's going to happen to us as we become slightly more specialized. But for the customer, you don't really want to have them call on multiple numbers.
Tim Thornton, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave.